Blog Talk Radio.
Can anybody hear me? You can hear me? I can't even hear you.
Oh, good. Turn your mic on. It's my phone. I can hear me echo.
If anybody can hear me, shoot me a text. We're trying to figure out what the technical difficulty is here. Okay, they can hear me. So why don't you use this instead?
Man, I have to, man. I have to get a real...
Y'all need to stop it, man. I'm getting penalized because I'm poor.
Is this ready? Okay, can everybody can hear? Okay. All right, so like I said, I had a really good week, you know, and you know, I was on a high because it's like, you know, Yahweh shows me, and he keeps on proving himself, you know, with me, just in case something I forget, you know, just in case. So he really doesn't want us to forget the things that he does for us. So he continues to do things for us. So earlier this week, I was on Facebook, and I was looking at some pictures of my granddaughter. And I was like, wow, I really miss them. I really want to kiss my grandbabies. I want to kiss my grandkids. But I was working so much this week, I didn't have time to actually physically go up there and see them. So when I went to physical therapy, which was a good, really good. I had no pain in my back that day, and I went and everything was fine. I was leaving physical therapy, and I hit down on the elevator, and it was me and another lady. I hit down on the elevator, but the elevator actually went up, and so when the door opened, who walks on but my daughter's mother and one of my grandbabies. And she walked by, and I said, hey. She said, hi. Pop, pop. I was like, hey, what's up, baby girl? Get a kiss. Get a kiss. And so I got the kiss. I didn't know that my youngest granddaughter had an appointment to see a doctor, which was on one floor above me that same day. So I was like, oh, I'm coming up to see her. But by the time I got up there, she was in the back, and I didn't get to see her immediately. So I shot her a text that I'm on my way up. As I was leaving to catch the bus, it was going to rain that day real bad. You could see it all in the air. As I was leaving to catch the bus, as soon as I hit the bus stop, she shot me a text saying she's out. So I went back in, and I stayed with my grandbaby for like an hour or so. I got to kiss my grandbabies. So for me, that's like, that's he hears us, and he wants us to know that he hears us. You know, so he does stuff like that because, you know, elevators aren't supposed to go up when you hit down. You hit down, it's supposed to go down. You know, but he did that for me, you know. And so I was on the high after that. You know, it's just little reminders like that that really get you going. It's like, you know, it's like, wow, man, Alba, you really hear me.
Right.
So, you know, and the thing is, it's like, you know, he lets us know that he hears us, and we have to let him know that we hear him also. You know, I kind of, you know, I was thinking about some stuff, and I kind of understand how Yaka'el, when he talks about it's so much that Abba gives you, you can't get it all out, so you try to get out as much as you can, but you forget a lot. You know, you might be up here making a point, and then Abba shows you something else within that point to expound upon it, and you just forgot the next thing that you wanted to say because he didn't put this other point on your mind. You know, but what I come to realize, that's just him prioritizing what he wants you to say. You know, when you think about the word, what he gives us, we don't know the whole life of Israel, but it was a priority for him to take this story and put it in there, and this story and put it in there, and this story and put it in there. You know, when we went through, we don't know everything the kings of Judah did. It says, the kings of Judah, some of the kings of Israel, a lot of times it says, and this king did evil in the eyes of Yahweh, according to this, that, and another. But he doesn't get into details. He just gives you like a little overview of it. But certain stuff in the life of some kings, he really focuses on. You know, so he kind of prioritizes his word, and he does the same thing with us when we're up here speaking his word. He kind of puts things, and I want somebody to hear this, because when they hear this, this is going to spark a memory or spark an idea. And how many times has it happened? Okay, somebody come up to you after that and they say, okay, because you said this, now I understand why this was said. You know, it's just him prioritizing his word. And so, you know, I was at work and I was thinking about something that was said, you know, last week when the question was asked about revelation. Person gets revelation because revelation hasn't ended. Does things change? And Abba, you know, the answer was what it was. No, things don't change. It has to agree with the word. But the word says that. So he showed me a way. Show me a verse. Yes, gotta find it. Because Paul talks about it. Okay. In Romans chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 20. It says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible Elohim into an image made like to the corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. For Elohim also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of Elohim into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So you see what happens when they change, when they get a revelation and they change the truth. They say, hey, you say you wise, but you became a fool. You say you know all these things, but you're far off of it. And you're dishonoring not only me, but you dishonor yourself. You know, to the point where they say they're doing stuff to their own bodies. You know? But no, we don't get to change stuff just because revelation comes. And that's what the word said. So, you know, I was just pondering on that, and he brought this verse to mind. So, in case anybody didn't get it last week, now you do. You know, Abba said you can't change stuff. So, that being said, today we're going to continue to look at the prophets. And we have three prophets that were sent to the house of Israel, and then we have a slew of prophets that were sent to the house of Judah. And we're going to look at the names of these prophets and what they were supposed to be showing to the different, what their purpose was, so to speak. All right? Now, first prophet was the book of Jonah, or Yuna. And Yuna's name means dove, and number 3142 in the Hebrew section of your lexicon. Now, when we went through this book, one of the reasons why we went through Jonah, and we found out that Jonah did not want to do a thing for Yahweh. Yahweh sent him to do something, and he didn't want to do it. He did not want to bring salvation onto the Gentiles, because these were people whose line was that? Nineveh. And Nineveh is in the Canaanite. Nineveh, excuse me. Nineveh. they were in the lines of Ham's line, right? And Jonah did not want to do what Abba said do. Eventually, Jonah got coerced into doing it. You know, he wanted to go this way. Abba made a fish to swallow him up and put him into Nineveh, where he started to preach the word. Nineveh repented to the point where the king ordered not only man, woman, and child, but also beasts not to eat at that point. And they repented. And Yahweh repented from destroying the city. So why is his name dove? You know, when we think about what a dove, and even today, a dove is symbolic of peace. And that's what Jonah eventually brought to Nineveh. But he also had to have peace with himself between the Most High. Because when he did not want to do what the Most High wanted him to do, that's rebellion. You know, the fact that he says, okay, go this way, and you go the opposite way on purpose. So all those calamities befell him. He was thrown over a ship and swallowed by a big fish that was prepared for him to do. But that was the point of the book of Jonah. Peace between not only Yah and the Gentiles, but peace between the prophet and the Most High also. Right? Next book. Amos. His name, number 5 in the Hebrew section, number 5986, Amos, and it means burdensome or burden. And it comes from another word, number 6006, that word is Amos, and it means, it's a primitive root, to load, that is, impose a burden. So, when we went through this particular book, Book of Amos, we learned about a man who was just a regular man. He was a herdsman. He wasn't a bandit of men. He himself said, you know, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but Abba gave me a mission, and so this is what I have to do. Think about someone who's unprepared for something, you know. Abba just, and when I say unprepared for something, unprepared in your own eyes. See, because the words say that how can he preach unless he be sent, all right? How can he be sent unless he was chosen and another? In other words, prepares you for the things that he wants you to do. But in your own eyes, you might not seem like you're prepared. In your own eyes, you might seem inadequate. In your own eyes, you might seem, it might seem like a burden to you, you know, doing the work of the Most High. Like today, it kind of felt like I was, like I said, I didn't want to do it. I was so unmotivated to work today, you know, and we get like that sometimes. It's like, no, you can't muster up the strength. You can't muster up the willpower. Abba will strengthen you if you ask him to, you know. The burden is not heavy, according to Yahushua. He said, my burden is light. My yoke is light. Learn of me. And, you know, a lot of times we are stronger than what we know, you know. And I think that's one of the points that the Most High wants us to know, wants us to understand from this book. We're stronger than what we know. We can do the things that Abba wants us to do if we do them. Something I was meant to tell y'all a while ago about the movie Friday that Yahweh showed. There's two kinds of fathers in this world, you know, from the movie Friday. You had Craig Father, and then you had Red, you know. And think about it. What happened? Both of them fought Debo. Old boy rolled up on Debo, and he said, man, can I have my bike back, Debo? He said, what bike, man? He said, the cruiser. You know, you borrowed it a little. Oh, okay. All right. And Debo plucked him. Bam! And that's when everybody went crazy. His father gets out the car and said, he said, you want some, old man? He said, no. That's what he told him. And he picked his son up like, why are you messing with Debo and this, that, and another? That's the little punk father that don't want his son to fight. But then you think about Craig Father. Craig Father said, put the gun down, son. Fight him with your fist. And he was right there. He, you know, Debo plucked him a couple times, but his father was there to cheer him on. Get up, Craig. Fight him, Craig. You can do it, Craig. Get up, Craig. And that's how the Most High is with us. He don't want us to, he's not that little punk father that's going to tell us once we get our head knocked off to lay down, come on, let's go. Mm-mm. He's Craig Father. Get up, son. Fight him, son. Get back at it. Because you're stronger than what you know. You know, Craig picked up a brick, hit him with a brick, hit him with a trash can. He did whatever he had to do to win that fight. You know, to the point where his mother's about to jump into him. But they the type. That's the two types of fathers you have in this world. You know, father who wants his sons to scrap. You know, Don't just sit up there. No, you don't just take these butt whoopings because you're stronger than him. You know, when you want to lay down, you're stronger than him. Fight back, son. That's what. Submit yourself to Yahweh. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what he's saying. You got to fight back. You got to swing back. You don't just pack your stuff up and go because you're stronger than that. You know, and I think that's one of the things that we have to come to a realization with, that we're stronger than what we know. Abba sees the strength within us. He knows the strength. He knows what he put within us. He understands it. We don't come to understand. You know, it's sort of like, y'all remember the movie Man of Steel, when he was first figuring out he got all these powers, and his mother told him how to use them, how to concentrate and hear, and he could use his super hearing, and he could use focus his heat. It's sort of like that. We have to know and learn how to use that spirit. We have to, you know, but if we never use it, if we always run when the fight come, we never use it. We don't know how to use it. So if Yahushua say he fully equipped us with the sword and the shield and this armor and this, that, and another, but we never put it on and we never use it in battle, what good is it? You know? Really, what good is it? Think about Israel. He told them, y'all don't know how to fight. If a war break out, when he first took them out of Egypt, if a war break out, I can't take them this way because these Philistines know how to fight. War break out, they're going to run back. So I got to take them the long way around, and then I got to teach them how to fight so they understand how to fight. It's the same thing with us. He got to teach us how to use the weapons that he gave us. You know, it's no different. You know, you go to karate class on day one, you're not an expert. You got to, you know, first you got to get physically fit. Then you got to learn how to do this, because it's a way to punch and hurt people, even in boxing. In any sport, they teach you different. You just don't swing a bat. You step into it, you turn your hips. That's where you generate power from, you know. So it's techniques to it, you know, and whatever you do. But Yahweh's word ain't a burden, you know. He says the yoke is light. We have to believe and see if it's light. You know, it seems like a burden to us sometimes because we don't want to do it. That carnal nature rises up in us and we don't want to do it. You know, but it don't have to be a burden. All right? Next book. Hosea. Hosea. Number 1954. Hosea, it means, says deliverer. Number 3, 4, 6, 7 comes from the word Yeshah, which means to be saved, or it says primitive root, properly to be open, wide, or free. By implication, that means to be safe. With Hosea, if I remember this book right, Hosea was sent to, he was calling Israel out on a whole bunch of stuff because Hosea was a longer of what they called the minor prophets. You know, where Amos was like 3 or 4 chapters. I think Jonah was like 3 or 4 chapters. Hosea was like 10 or 12. And he was calling them out on a lot of stuff, you know. But in the end, and in the middle, like, let's read Hosea chapter 7, right? Hosea chapter 7, verse 1. He says, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. but they committed falsehoods. And the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about for my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, as an oven heateth by the baker, who ceases from raising after he has kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners. For they have made ready their hearts like an oven. Whilst they lie in wait, their baker sleepeth all night. In the morning, it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. Ephraim has mixed himself with the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here, and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face. And they do not return to Yahweh, their mighty one, nor seek him for all this. So we're going to stop right there. Y'all get the point. This is one of the biggest things that Israel was doing. Perverting judgment, getting caught up with everybody else was doing. And Hosea was telling them to stop doing that, turn back. This is how you're going to get saved, all right? Because that's what his name means, delivered, deliverer, to be safe, you know? Israel, even to this day, has always been a follower, all right? We always get caught up in what everybody else did and how everybody else does it, even though we were told way back when, one of the scriptures that my brother loved to quote, when you come into this land, don't do like the Egyptians did, and don't do as the Canaanites did when you come into this land. Don't do it. You will not serve them. You will not serve me like they serve them. That's what he says. But yet we get caught up in everything, and everything becomes like a little argument. Me and my brother was talking on the way over here. He was talking about the word amen, and he was talking to somebody on his job, and he was talking about amen being associated with Amun-Ra. And one of the things that he brought up, he said, hold up. First time when you see this word, Yahweh is talking to the people.
Hallelujah.
And then at the end of that, the people answered, amen. All right? Yahweh already told them people, you ain't going to give no glory to those false gods. So why would they answer amen if this is giving glory to Amun-Ra? Why would he allow that? You know? Great point. You know? I mean, think about it. He's not going to allow that stuff. That's not of me. But now you got Israelites, and you know, when we think about that word, amen, comes from the word amun, which means to support. That's literally a Hebrew word.
Amen.
But you got some people who don't say it because you got the word. God, that's the name of one of Jacob's 12 kids. You got some people who don't say that because of the German, this, that, and another, and this is Germanic, and it's getting... We got to stop getting caught up in what everybody else is doing.
Hallelujah.
Our thinking has to be on line with what the Most High gave. You know? That's how we get saved. He says, nobody is thinking that Yahweh is seeing this. You know? Nobody is thinking. Nobody, he said, Israel don't even consider that Yahweh is looking down upon them and witnessing all of this. And that this is going to stand as a testimony against them. You know, when you got men out there, I was talking to a lady on Facebook, and she wrote up a comment because obviously this whole thing with some of these camps, you got men who are running through these women like hotcakes, you know, running through them. And they use the Bible to justify it. They use their status as a man to justify it. And they're not considering that Yahweh is looking upon all this, you know. And, you know, one of the things what the woman was saying is that we don't have a voice. You know, as a woman, we don't have a voice. And they're just telling us to either get over it or be quiet or this, that, another. And, you know, one of the things I wrote down there, I said, as men and women, we need to make better choices as men and women. You know, you're too, men and women are too quick and too much in a hurry to lay down with one another than to get to know one another. And that's why, just because, you know, you got a dude who's following Torah. And don't take this the wrong way. That dude's still a dude. You know, he falls short sometimes. It happens, you know. But if you take your time and get to know that person, it's less of a chance of it happening, you know. You can't know a person in 2 or 3 months, you know. You still, people still fronting, you know. And this is what I told her. I said, men and women need to take responsibility for their choices, you know. No, it's not right for that woman, because what they keep on saying is that these women out here playing the harlot, they out here playing the, you know, the WHORE. Okay, she can't play it by herself, though. That's the thing. There is no such thing as a harlot by herself. So if she's playing the harlot, somebody's playing the harlot with her. You know? That's the truth of the matter. So you can't look at it as a one-sided type thing. You can't just say, well, it's that woman's fault because she laid with him. Wait, man, he laid with her too. He laid with her too. So it's not just one-sided. And being in the status of a man and being that head, it's like, you know, from the woman's perspective, she's saying if they got like the good old boy system. You know, you got the elders who's going to support the man, and the man is right, and yada, 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 yada. No, the man ain't right all the time. You know, he's just as guilty as that woman. You know, and they both need to sit down and talk and get counseling and admit their wrongs to one another. You know, that's what should happen. You know, but, and it's, and like I told you, I said, it's sad to hear that going on in Israel. That's a shame that that's not supposed to be going on in Israel. That's not supposed to be, that's not, so if we're going to be a holy nation, that can't be going on. Everybody can't be claiming righteousness and then this is going on behind the scenes. You know, this is going on behind the scenes. You're saying, well, we're righteous, we're holy, we got our Zeus, we got our Lots, we got this. But all this is going on behind the scenes. Women ain't supposed to be hurting like that in Israel. And men also, on the other end, you know, because it just ain't the women hurting, it's the men hurting too, you know. So we have to consider that Yahweh sees these things, you know, and that's one of the things that when we read Hoshea, nobody's doing, nobody is considering, and the last thing I wrote, I said, Yahweh is going to repay good for good and evil for evil. That's all you got to worry about. You know, he is going to recompense. That's what the words say. You know, but in order for us to be delivered, we have to consider what Yahweh sees. And if we consider what Yahweh is seeing, we'll change our ways. Hopefully, we should change our ways. You know, but in the end, the choice is still ours. You know. So these were the three men, the three prophets that were sent to the house of Israel. Now remember, the house of Israel and the house of Judah split at that time. You know, and Israel had been doing wrong in the eyes of Yahweh a lot longer than the house of Judah. You know, but let me rephrase that. Israel had more bad leaders than the house of Judah. Let's put it that way. Because after Solomon, Jeroboam started screwing up, and Rehoboam started screwing up too. After Solomon. So both of them started doing wrong. Occasionally, the house of Judah had a king that did right in the eyes of Yahweh. You know, whereas Israel, I don't think it's saying it not too much after that, maybe one or two after that. But the kings of Judah started to do more right in the eyes of Yahweh than the kings of Israel. All right. So let's go to the prophets that were sent to Yehuda. First one being Obadiah, number 5662, and his name means servant of Yah. Okay. Now with Obadiah, his vision was a vision concerning Edom and what would befall Edom. How is that serving Yah? Or here's a better question. Why would he send a prophet named Obadiah to prophesy against Edom? Could it be that the Edomite is supposed to be serving Yah too? I mean, because think about it. Jacob had two sons. Both of his sons knows the ways of Yahweh because they were taught to them by Esau or Edom, the exact same thing, right? Edom had an issue with Isaac and ended up going and marrying some, I think he married daughters, sir? Hittites? Might have been Hittites, but I thought it was, what's her face, daughters. Ishmael's daughters. Yeah, Ishmael's daughters. Ishmael's daughter and a Hittite. We'll look that up. But he should have been serving the Most High. He wanted to kill his brother. He should have been serving the Most High. And eventually, as the story keeps on moving, we read how when Israel went into captivity, the Edomite, our brother, was churned. And they was happy about our captivity and helped with our captivity. So the servant of Yahweh started prophesying against Edom. I remember a question my brother posed to somebody, our brother Yahriel, and it was in concern about Ishmael and who's Ishmael's brother? Abraham's brother. Abraham's other son. Isaac. When would the two, because both of these are Abraham's sons, he posed that question to somebody, when would these two come under that one banner? A while ago. Well, you can say the same thing about Jacob and Esau. Because they're twins. And even though they were scrapping since birth, scrapping before birth, they was in the womb scrapping. You know? When will the two come to sit under their father's tutelage? You know? They need salvation too. And if they would turn their ways, they'll be accepted. If they would turn their ways back to what was given. Because it's not like they don't know. If they turn their ways back to what was given. Think about Cain, why is your countenance dropped? If you do what you know is right, won't it be accepted? So Cain knew what was right, but he didn't do it. Same way with Eden. He knows what's right, but won't do it, and becomes his brother's enemy. Now, we do read within the story, they embrace. Because after he left Laban, after Jacob left Laban, and this is, I believe this is right before he got his name Israel. I believe this is right before he wrestled that angel, when the droves came, and he had to, he split his family up in two, split everything he had in two. And he set the one way, set the one the other way. Then Esau was coming with his 400 men. And he came all the way, and he met all of his nephews. And when he finally got to Jacob, they embraced. So it's a possibility there that hostility between the two could end. You know, because, again, these things are prophetic, you know. We don't have to hate one another. We don't have to be at each other's throats. We don't have to continue to war with one another. We could live in harmony underneath our Father's banner. You know, we could do that. That's a possibility if people want to do it. We don't have to go at it. Well, my belief system say this. Your belief system say that. What did Yahweh say? All right? Because that's what we need to be striving for. And if we do what Yahweh say, then we're peace. There's peace there. We're meeting in the middle, so to speak. You know? But that's what Obadiah was prophesying about Eden. Any questions or comments so far? Next one. Joel. Yoel.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Regarding Esau, he did right, Hittite man.
Israelites. Ishmaelites, sorry. So yes. You know, and back again. Specifically when that was done, it was done as an offense to his specific when he did that. You know, he did. His father did not want him to marry women outside of the Israelites. He said, "Don't marry that Hittite woman." And then not only did he marry a Hittite woman, he took an Ishmaelite on top of that. So it was done as an offense to his father. And I mean, think about it. He intentionally offended his father. You know, intentionally. What child? Only a rebellious child does that. You know, you don't want to hurt your parents as a child. You really don't. You know, but only a rebellious child does that. So, enough about him. About our twins. Joel or UL number 3100 in your Hebrew lexicon, and says. Yah is El. Okay. We're going to read chapter 1 of Joel. That's his prophecy. Now, this is something we're going to get why his name is Joel and why his message was towards the house of Judah. Joel chapter 1, verse 1. The word of Yahweh that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which in each case, side note, in each case, that word children is sons. All right? In each case. So it should read, tell ye your sons of it, and let your sons tell their sons and their sons another generation. All right? So, verse 4. That which the palmer worm has left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm has left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He has laid my wine waste and barked my fig tree. He has made it clean, bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for a husband of her youth. And the drink offering is cut off from the house of Yahweh. The priests, Yahweh's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted. The land mourneth, for the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil languished. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. How, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languished. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourself and lament, ye priests. How, ye ministers of the altar, come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my mighty one. For the meat offering and for the drink offerings was holden from the house of your mighty one. Sanctify ye a feast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of Yahweh, your mighty one, and cry unto Yahweh. Alas for the day of Yahweh. Excuse me. Alas for the day. For the day of Yahweh is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. So, Yahweh is going to allow all that stuff to happen because he is mighty one. He says, all these things is going to happen to y'all, ain't going to be nothing y'all going to do about it. Cry unto me. Why is he telling you to cry unto me? Y'all wasn't crying unto me. The meat offering going to be cut off. You can still offer the meat. See, because when we think about it, when Yahweh says the meat offering is going to be cut off, he means in his eyes. Okay. You can keep on offering them all the meat you want. If you want to find, if you can, you can go out and catch a turtle dove. You can go out and it might be a sheep or something like somewhere. You can catch it and you can offer it up on that altar. That don't mean Yahweh going to accept it. He's cutting it off for all your atrocities that you was committing in the land. He's cutting it off. I don't want to see, I don't want to hear all that. And then to think about it, then to continue that thought, he's going to destroy all this corn, destroy all this so you won't be able to offer it up. He said, whatever the cankerworm don't get, this next one going to get. And whatever, it's going to be hard for you to eat. You're not going to be able to make wine because there ain't going to be no corn. So no corn liquor. And we like corn liquor. So it's not going to be anything, any of those things like that going on. All right? You're not going to be able to offer the wine because the vineyards are going to languish. You're not going to be able to get corn. The corn field is going to languish. I'm going to send devourers to eat up everything. So you're going to hunger. You're going to thirst. And he says, gather people within the house of Yahweh to cry on to Yahweh. Because up to this point, you're not doing that. You know, think about some of the things that was going on at the time of this, because this is the time of the split. The house of Judah, oops, I don't think I got this one right here. Okay. The house of Judah was getting caught up in what Israel was doing. Israel started making idols. Judah started making idols. It got to a point where the groves and the Asheroths were in Judah. It got cut down and got put back up. You know, all these different things that was going on within Judah at that time, Yahweh observed, and he was angry about it. So to prove that he's mighty one, on top of the coming slavery, no other way to say it, the coming captivity, slavery, whatever, you know, he tries to get us to a point where we recognize what we're doing before the captivity. So he sent these prophets there. I'm going to mess up your food supply because I control the food. I'm going to mess up the house. That's my house. If I want the language, I'm going to let the house language. Look at what my priests are doing. My priests aren't doing right. So I'm going to let my house language. I'm going to let my house fall apart because y'all doing a great job of breaking it up anyway. You know? It got to the point where Yahweh had to show his might and his power whenever we become too disobedient. All right? The same way he had to show his might and his power through Eliyah, it's not going to rain for 3 years. What was going on with the food supply? What happens if a cow can't drink water? You can't offer that up. If you can't offer up anything that dies of itself, right? That's one of the statutes that we have dealing with offerings. Can't offer anything up that dies of itself. So I'm pretty sure at that time, if somebody don't drink for 3 years, there's no water there. You don't drink for 3 years, something died, and it can't go on that altar. Your vegetation is dying, so you can't really use that. And this is by the power of Yahweh, right? Because doing right. So I have to show you these things. You got the same thing going on. The same way he blew these locusts in at Egypt, because that was one of the plagues, was the plague of locusts. He said, I'm doing the same thing. Whatever the palmer worm don't get, a locust going to get. Whatever this locust don't get, the next one going to get. He's going to bring these insects in to eat up the vegetation. So you're not going to eat. You can't eat. And think about all the insects that's not helpful for your livestock. You know, a lot of people pay a lot of money to keep these insects off of livestock. Because a lot of times the insects carry diseases, and you don't want diseased livestock, you know. But all of this is just to prove Yahweh is the mighty one. I control this. This is all me, you know. So if I want to... Okay. Joel chapter 3. We're going to read the first, I think it's the first five, verse 5. Yeah, first five verse. Joel chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre, and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly, pleasant things. Yahweh allowed that. Think about what happened with Babylon. We read about what Nebuchadnezzar did. He took all the stuff out of the temples of Yahweh, poured them in his temple. He allowed that. He allowed his temple to fall. He allowed it.
Right.
You know, you think about all the work that had to go into just building the tabernacle. Never mind the temple, just building the tabernacle. Think about all the work that had to be done to construct that. And then you move it, you know, and you had to be able to break it down, this, that, and another. Now you have a permanent dwelling that was stationary, that people would come and they could sit and hear the word of the Most High. And he allows that to be destroyed. They talked about how they had to take the gold off of the doors. You know, that's a lot of work to overlay a door with gold, you know. But he allowed that. They took all the vessels, all the gold plates, all the forks and stuff like that, took it all out. And he said they did it again. You know, they ransacked the place, but he allowed that. It's his temple. Who can say anything to him about what he's doing with his stuff? It's his. You know? So he says, priests, mourn for that. You know? Because, yeah, this was your job. Your job was to take care of this place. Now it's ransacked. Can you imagine how I know how I felt when my little spot got broken into? You walk in, you feel violated. Like, man, somebody's been through all my stuff, and now you got the priest feeling this way because they done took all the gold vessels out. They know how beautiful that thing was. You know, everybody didn't get to see the menorah. You know, but they had to keep it lit. Everybody didn't get to see the table of the showbread and the altar of incense. Everybody didn't get to see that. You know, but the priests were privy to this. And they get to see all that. But then somebody came and ransacked the place, and now you just sitting around. And what happened? But Abba allowed it to happen. It's his. So, on all the show that he is the mighty one. All right. Any questions so far or comments? All right. Yeshaya, Isaiah, the next one. Number 3470 in your lexicon. And it says, Yah has saved. Excuse me. Yah has saved. All right? So, when we read about Yeshaya, or Yeshaya, again, he was sent to the house of Judah. Two, this is what everyone calls the messianic prophet, because within his prophecies, a lot of people point to and relate to Mashiach, right? Mashiach Yahushua. He is quoted a lot in the New Testament, you know, but specifically when he was on the scene. And much like Brother Hoshea, see, it's not a coincidence that a prophet whose name has to do with salvation was sent to Israel. And then there was a prophet who, see, because you have Hoshea, which means salvation or deliverer. And he was sent to Israel. But then you have Yeshayahu or Yeshaya, who Yah, he saves, sent to Judah. So you have one who's a little more defined, so to speak, sent to one, and then salvation for the other one too. But they have a little more definition in Judah, you know. But that was his point. One of the biggest thing that he was focusing on was showing Judah how salvation would come. And the fact that he has Yah's name within it, and you connect a lot of the things that he did with Mashiach, Yahushua, and the fact that he sent to the house of Yehuda, Judah, this is why he's the Messianic prophet, and this is why he was sent to the house of Judah, because Yah is going to save you. It's going to come through a Judite or a Yahudi, and Yah is the salvation, right? So he has a whole bunch of different stuff where he sends visions of Egypt, and he prophesied a lot against a whole bunch of people. Okay, let's look at chapter 30. All right, starting in verse 1, it reads, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith Yahweh, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. They may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach." So, sort of like Hosea, salvation comes when we change our ways and change our outlook to what Yahweh wants us to do. Because the very first thing he says, "Woe to the rebellious children." You're doing everything that everybody else says, but you're not listening to me. He says, "Who's covering? Ain't of my spirit. You got a covering on you, but it's not of my spirit. You taking counsel, but it's not of me." You know, the rebellious children. It's sort of like, you know, and my mother had this issue with me when I was younger, by your friends. You know, sometimes your friends would be such an influence on you that you really didn't listen to your parents. You know, you would do this, that, and another. "Yeah, I'm hanging out with yes, this, that, and another, da, 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 da." And you would get at it with your mother or your parent, in my case, my mother, and I wasn't listening. And that's all she wanted me to do was listen for my benefit, you know, for my benefit and my profit. But nah, I'm out here doing whatever, because what do parents know? Every child thinks they know more than their parent, because their parents are old. And, you know, I get it now. I'm old and I don't understand the times and all that. I mean, everything that you possibly said to your parent was said to you when you become a parent. So it's you know, you old, man. You just don't get it. You know, you just, you know, times change. And okay. You know, I remember saying all this stuff to my parents, you know, but as a parent, that's all you want your child to do is listen for their benefit. Like, "Look, man, I don't want you to get the stripes that I got. You, there's no need for you to go through that. Just listen to me. You know, I understand something, you know. I got a little bit of wisdom. Got a couple bumps and bruises. I got some wisdom, you know. And if you listen to me, you'll find out how much wisdom I do have. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. But, you know, when I'm right, be good. You know, but that's the same thing with Abba, you know. He got rebellious kids. His kids are constantly rebelling against him, constantly. You know, and we, you know, and it's like he's showing us how to make $1 billion. He says, if you follow my steps from A to Z, you'll never fail. You're gonna, and at the end, when you get to Z, you're gonna have $1 billion. Because this is a foolproof way of being successful. But we don't want to listen to the foolproof way of being successful. We want to do it our way because it's our life, and we want to learn on our own. You know, could just take what's proven. You know, this way is proven. It's still going 3,000 years later, 4,000 years later, 5,000. It's proven, but we don't want the proven way. We want to forge our own way. And, you know, in the world is big on that. The world is big on not doing what is proven. You know, follow your dreams. And don't get me wrong, there's certain things. You should want to do things that you like to do. Because even the word says that one of the things, a man should enjoy his job. Person who does a job that they don't like, that's not good. You know, Solomon writes that in Ecclesiastes, you know. But there's proven ways of doing things, you know, and everybody now is do what you will. Go do what you like. Go, you know, it's your life. Live it, you know. And it goes against what is right, you know, to the point that we're in this mess now where a man can literally or a woman can literally identify as being something other than what they are. You know, I saw, you know, our brother sent us a video of people marrying an ocean. They married the ocean. I mean, they literally at the beach. The waves are coming in. The waves are going out. They saying, "Do you marry the ocean?" Women, silly. I do, but the ocean never answered. So how are you married? They marrying trees. You got a woman that's in love with a tree, and I mean, when I say in love with a tree, she loves the tree. Literally loves the tree. The type of stuff that they identify with this stuff. You can, that's because it's my life and I can do what I want to do with it. And you're right, you can. But it's like our brother wrote, everything is permissible, but not expedient. You're right, you can do whatever you want to do what you want to do in this life. But everything is not good for you to do. Everything ain't good for you to do. You know, but we get salvation by turning our mind and our heart back to Yahweh. You know, and we learn that in the book of Hosea and the book of Yeshayahu. Right, any questions or comments so far? So we got. Next book is Micah. Or Micah. Number 4318 in your Hebrew lexicon. Who is like Yah? Is the definition that's given. Who is like Yah, or who is like, well, they say God, but Yah's name is in there. Now, chapter 2, we're going to get a description. Description of some folks. Micah chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields, and take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil. And that day shall one take up a parable against you, and lament with a doleful lamentation, and say, we be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields. Therefore thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of Yahweh." So you got right now people who, and think about what happened in Baltimore City. You got people who were actually losing their houses over water bills. They were literally losing the house that was might have been in their family for a couple generations over water bills, property taxes, and stuff like that. So you have folks who at night they're devising schemes to take land away from you, your heritage. Because when you think about a heritage, what you're going to inherit, it used to be a time people inherited land, people inherited houses. People, it wasn't just money, you know. My house, the house that burnt down, my mother got it from her mother and her father. You know, they bought it and she inherited it, you know, but then it burnt down. Point being, there are some people who lose their houses and their houses are taken from them by the city, and it's sanctioned. And people in high places, see, because he says they sit up on their beds and they devise these things, and then when the light comes, they practice it because they have the power to do it. The power is in their hand. They have the power to do it. So they go and they do these things. Now, you think about this stuff. Yahweh says, I'm going to bring that back on your head. And there ain't going to be nothing you're going to be able to do about it. It's going to be to the point where he says, you're going to take up this lamentation. What do you say? Take up a parable, we be utterly spoiled. He has changed the portion of my people. How has he removed it from me? So all those folks who's out there doing wrong, they're going to get wrong done to them. He is the one who recompenses. So he says, who's like Yahweh? We're the ones, we have to be his, that other half, that long suffering, because he gave us a list of what he wants us to be. Patient, long suffering, temperance, this, that, and another. They're like Yahweh. See, that's one half of them, because he has this other half that he says is vengeful. But we can't be that half. We have to be the other half. That's what we have to show forth within this world. So who is like Yahweh? Those who control themselves. Because the power ain't in our hands to take this world by force. We can't grab a gun or write a law or this, that, and another to take this world by force. So what we have to do is be patient, long-suffering, control ourselves enough, meek, you know, kind, loving. That's what we have to do. That's our lot right now, our time to be the vengeance. See, that part coming. He says, we sing it every week, to execute vengeance, execute judgments on the Gentiles, punishments on the people. That's the honor of his saints. So that part coming. But right now, we got to get this part, the meekness, the gentleness, the those fruits of the Spirit. So who is like Yahweh? You know, the ones who can do this. All right? And we're going to stop right here for now. All right? Next week, we're going to pick up on the last couple of next week we're going to pick up on the prophets that didn't. Nahum, Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Daniel, Ezekiel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and Chronicles. Next week, that's what we're going to pick up on. But I hope everybody is seeing that when these prophets were sent to these houses, it was for a specific reason. And it's for Yahweh to bring forth a specific message that we are to take hold of, you know. And think about it. This is during the split. This is before the captivity, you know. This is before and actually during the captivity, too. Because when you think about Jeremiah, he was during the captivity. Daniel, during the captivity. Ezekiel, you know, Ezra. All these prophets were during the captivity. So there's specific things that when we get to the prophets who were during the captivity, that he wants us to know what we have to do down in captivity.
Yes.
You know, think about it. One of the first prophets that he had, Jeremiah, Yah, he established.
Yes.
You know, and he's during the captivity. What's going to be established in captivity? You know, but That's it for this week. So any questions or comments about anything? All right. Cole Coon family. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
Shabelle, you mind closing us out, please, bro?
Thank you for giving us the breath of life. Another chance, opportunity to gather and hear your words that's going to be presented today through your servant, Ariel. Father, give him your spirit so that he can deliver the message to us. Father God, thank you for giving the word to Brother Dale well. He taught us the class today of your prophets that you said. To Israel and Judah, so that we can learn from those things also, open our spiritual ears and spiritual eyes, so that we can learn more things of you, Father, your mind, so we can do your will. Bless those who are in attendance with us physically, bless those who are listening over the airwaves, bless those who are worshiping you all over the four corners of this world, so we continue to be your servants. Bless our Zakin, strengthen them as they recover. Give us all of our sins, knowingly and unknowingly. Tear down any strongholds that we have that prevent us from getting closer to you. We ask you for all those things in your precious name. Amen.
Yeah.